Ephesians is incredibly rich. It is an incredible gift to the church, and I'm hoping and praying that I can do it justice today. So would you please pray with me? Would you pray right now that God would open your hearts and that you would be humble before the Word, to receive whatever God has for you today without any boundaries, without any hardness, without any fighting, any hardness of heart, that no sin would hold you back, but whatever Ephesians has for you, be it encouragement or challenge, be it comfort or conviction, whatever Ephesians has for you today, that you'd receive it completely. Just pray between you and the Lord right now. Would you pray for the other people in this room the same prayer, that they could just receive without any conflict, without any boundaries, without any fighting against the Word, that they would receive whatever Ephesians has for them today. Now, would you please pray for me? You know I just have one job up here. I can't preach my own agenda or my own thoughts or my own opinions. Paul needs to be the preacher today. So please pray for me that I would do the one thing that I'm supposed to do, and that's accurately and clearly tell you what Paul wants you to know. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. As I look over Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, I see three things for us from Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. Three things. The first one is in your notes. It is number one, it is a Savior to adore. A Savior to adore. Do you want to get to know Jesus better? I know that you do. Do you want to have a better idea of who Jesus really is? Every single person in this room, including me, has an imperfect view, an imperfect idea of who Jesus is. So my question to you is, do you want to improve and strengthen your concept of who Jesus is? I offer you the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians teaches you and introduces you to the real Jesus. The real Jesus. Who is Jesus Christ? The book of Ephesians gives you a Savior to adore. Ephesians 1:7 is a quick verse. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace. Look at Ephesians 1, start with verse 18, and I'll show you the real Jesus. Ephesians 1:18. Paul says this, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. Now look at this. We're answering the question, who is Jesus? Look at this. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Who is Jesus Christ? First of all, he is far above every king, every president, every governor, every military ruler, every emperor, every chief. Jesus is far above every rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only now, but in the future. So the question to the world and the question to us is a simple one, and it is a gospel one. Why should we worship Jesus? Why should the world repent and serve Jesus? Why? A basic message of the gospel is this: Jesus is King. When we proclaim the gospel, we are proclaiming the kingdom of Jesus. That's why Peter in Acts chapter 2 says, "This Jesus you crucified, God has made him Lord and Christ." And the people said, "What should we do?" And he said, "Repent." The gospel is the message that Jesus is King. Now, I want you to imagine something with me for a second. What we know to be true is this: Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. That applies to every single person in this room. Jesus loves you. He loves you more than anyone ever has. He loves you more than anyone does now, and he loves you more than anyone ever will love you. Jesus' love for you is greater than your husband's, your wife's, your mother's, your father, your brother, your sister. Jesus loves you perfectly. Now, with that in mind, wouldn't it be great if Jesus was the mayor of Indio? The mayor of Indio was Jesus, and he loves you. That would make my life a little bit easier. I could get up in the morning and say, you know what? Jesus is the mayor of Indio. Well, what if Jesus was the governor of California? That's even better. Going to leave that alone. What if Jesus was the president of the United States? Oh, that would be so wonderful. But what if Jesus were the undisputed king of the earth? Well, what if Jesus were not only the king of the earth, but he was Lord of the universe? He was king not only of the physical world, but he was also Lord of the spiritual world. And what if Jesus was not only king of the physical world and the spiritual world, but he was king now, and he had no term? His kingship doesn't run out after 4 years, or 8 years, or 12 years. What if this Jesus, who loves you perfectly, more than anyone ever has or ever will, were king of the entire universe, the physical world and the spiritual world, both now and forever and ever and ever and ever and ever? Wouldn't that be great? Trinity Baptist Church, that is exactly the case. And that is why we serve him. That is why we serve him. When we share the gospel with the people of Indio, the gospel is a message of Jesus' lordship. He is king. That is who Jesus is. That is who Jesus is. Look at verse 21 again. Verse 21, describing Jesus, says he is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. Just to restate what I've already said, verse 22 says this, he put all things in subjection under his feet. Where is Jesus right now? Thank you, Carrie. Would you please be an elder? Jesus. Now, his spirit is in the hearts of all those who are born again. But his physical body is at the right hand of the throne of God Almighty, where he sits as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? But look at this. Look at verse 22. This is so amazing. Verse 22, you can't miss this, church. This is incredible. He put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him to the church. Gave him to the church. Gave him as head over all things to the church. Oh, what an incredible gift. We talked about how great a gift would be if the Lord, if God the Father said, I'm going to give Jesus to Indio. I'm going to give Jesus to Indio as the mayor. Would you not agree that that would be an incredible gift? If God the Father looked down and said, I will give my son as mayor of Indio, there would be shouting in the streets. There would also be fear. Wouldn't it be great if God the Father said, I'm giving Jesus to California as governor? How wonderful that would be. Or what if God the Father said, I'm giving Jesus to the United States of America as the next president? Oh, how great that would be. But we don't need God to do that because God gave Jesus to us as Lord of the church. David Gordon does not run Trinity Baptist Church. I had a heart attack on January 27th. And God has decided to spare me. But if he didn't, it wouldn't matter because you have Jesus. You don't need me. You have Jesus. God gave Jesus as head over all things to the church. Oh, may Jesus be in charge of this place. That is all we need to do. Do you see that? You look around, you say, our church needs this, and our church needs this, and our church needs this, and our church needs this. Our church needs one thing: to surrender to Christ as our head. The first thing Ephesians gives you is a Savior to adore. A Savior to adore. There's a second thing that Ephesians gives you. The second thing is in your notes. It is a gospel to believe. A gospel to believe. Let's talk about construction, because everyone knows that that's my area of expertise. Where is Tom? Tom, there you are. Tom, this stage is concrete, correct? Okay, it's not solid concrete. Let's pretend that it is, because that's better for my sermon. The stage is concrete. Now, in truth, the top is concrete, but let's pretend it is solid. This is just a rock right here in front of me. Now, I'd like to build something on that rock. I'd like to build a tower on the stage.
You're not going to be able to see this, but trust me, I'm building a tower on the stage. Some books right there. First sermon back, I'm getting part of your bachelor.
Now, never mind the unstableness of this part, but would there be any point in my stacking where the concrete stage would be an insufficient foundation for that stack? Forget the fact that I've got to stack them well and, you know, it could topple this way or that way, but would there be any point, could I stack those books all, I keep stacking them up, and the stage would be a good enough foundation. Right? It would topple this way. We need the body of Christ to put it up. But what if we put it in a different foundation? What if I stacked it, not on the stage, but on those pillows? How high can I get that? Not much higher, right? That's not a very good foundation. Now, that slab of marble is pretty good. But the pillows are lousy. Here's my point. Your relationship with God is like you're building a tower. And you keep on building and keep on building and keep on building. You get higher and higher and higher. But you got to have a good foundation, don't you? You got to have a good foundation. The foundation cannot be your own righteousness. The foundation cannot be your good works. The foundation cannot be your performance. The foundation cannot be your ability to obey. That's going to topple. If you want to strengthen your relationship with Jesus, you need to strengthen it on a solid foundation. And that foundation is Christ. Amen? And that foundation is the gospel. You must realize that the foundation of your relationship with God, the foundation of your relationship with God is not your love for God. It is God's love for you. Amen? The foundation of your relationship with God is not your service to God. It is God's service to you in Christ. The foundation of your relationship with God is not what you do for God. The foundation of your relationship with God is what God does for you. That is the foundation. And if you build your relationship with God on your own good works, on your own performance, on your own human effort, it's like this stack of pillows here. You try to get closer to God. You try and strengthen your relationship with God, and it's always going to topple because your performance is such a weak foundation. But if you base your relationship with God on what Christ has done, you can stack it to the ceiling. Do you want to strengthen your relationship with God? Do you want to strengthen your relationship with God? Know the gospel. It is no accident that Paul doesn't start telling you how to live until chapter 4. You take a look at Ephesians. Take a look at Ephesians. The do's and don'ts of Christianity. Don't do this, but do this. Don't act like this, but act like this. Forsake these characteristics. Embrace these characteristics. Don't think like this. Don't talk like this. Think like this and talk like this. It starts at chapter 4. 1, 2, and 3 is the gospel. Because Paul wants you to know what Christ has done for you before you start doing things for him. That is incredibly important. Now, you're looking at your notes and you're saying, he hasn't even gotten started yet. Don't worry, we're going to go incredibly fast from here. Our condition without Christ. I got every one of these things from Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. Our condition without Christ. Number one, we were dead in our sins. We were dead in our sins. Number two, we lived in the lusts of our flesh. We lived in the lusts of our flesh. Number three, we were children of wrath. We were children of wrath. Number four, we were separate from Christ. We were separate from Christ. Number five, we were excluded from God's people. We were excluded from God's people. Number six, we were without the promises, without hope, and without God. That is your condition without Christ. That is my condition without Christ. And that is every single person in this world, no matter how they live their life. If you are without Christ, those six things are true of you. If you want to look them up, and I'm hoping that you do, I've given you the verse in Ephesians for each one of them. Our condition with Christ, take a look at this. Our condition with Christ, number one, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Number two, we are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Chosen. Number three, we are adopted as God's children. Adopted. Number four, God's grace has been lavished on us. Grace. Number five, we have been redeemed through the blood of Christ. We have been redeemed through the blood of Christ. Number six, we have been forgiven of our sins. Forgiven. Number seven, God's will has been made known to us. God's will has been made known to us. Number eight, we have obtained an inheritance. Inheritance. Number nine, we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. Number ten, we are alive together with Christ. Number 11, we have been raised up with Christ. Raised. Number 12, we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Seated. Number 13, we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works. Created. 14, we have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Brought near. 15, we are reconciled to God through Christ's work on the cross. Reconciled. 16, through Christ we have access to the Father. Access. 17, we are citizens and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ being the cornerstone. Citizens and members. Now, what I want you to see, brothers and sisters, is all I've done is given you a list. First of all, every single one of these 23 items is in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. Every single one. Check it out for yourself. Ephesians is jam-packed with the gospel. The second thing I want you to see is I've just given you a list. You're missing out on the richness of how these things are all tied together if you don't read the book. It is absolutely not good enough for you to go home and say, well, Pastor Dave just gave me all the answers. I don't need to read the book. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, if that were the case, then God would have just given you the list. Doesn't that make sense? If all you needed was the list, you'd open Ephesians and it would just be a list. It wouldn't be a letter. You need the letter. You need to read Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 to get the richness of the list. Things like, I am alive with Christ. I've been raised with Christ. I am seated with Christ. Those things miss their full meaning if you don't read them in the context of chapter 1. And I'm not going to give anything else away because I want you to read it for yourself. Ephesians gives you a Savior to adore, a gospel to believe, and finally, two prayers to pray. I want to show them to you. Go back to chapter 1 again, please. Chapter 1, 15. Chapter 1, 15. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. And here's the prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. That's an incredible prayer. You're coming up today, hopefully you're coming up today to get a list of people to pray for. The lists are ready for 2018. I've got them. They're on the front pew. You want to know how to pray for them? There's the prayer. There's the prayer. But again, this prayer out of context is not nearly as deep as it is if you read verses 1 through 14. Ephesians 1, 1 through 14 is the foundation for this prayer. You read those 14 verses and then you read the prayer and you will truly understand what Paul is praying for the people. Do you want to know how to pray for each other? Ephesians 1, 15 through 19. That's the prayer. There's another beautiful prayer in Ephesians 1 through 3, and it's the conclusion of the section. So please turn to chapter 3 and pick it up with me in verse 14. Ephesians 3, 14. Ephesians 3:14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father. He's praying. From whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Now here's the prayer request. 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. What an incredible prayer. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. What a prayer request. You want to pray for someone? You want to know how to pray for someone? Other than the Lord's Prayer, you will never get a better prayer than that right there. You want to know how to pray for someone? It's right there. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. Now again, what are the first three words of verse 14? For this reason. For this reason. Paul does this magnificent gospel presentation, and then he says, therefore, because of that, because of all that I just told you, this is my prayer. So again, Ephesians 3, 14 through 19 does not get its full meaning out of context. You have to read chapters 1, 2, and 3 for the prayer request to come alive to you and make sense. You want to know how to pray for people? There's two prayers you can pray for the people of this church all year long for 2018. Brothers and sisters, Ephesians is a gift to the church. Do you want to grow as a Christian? Do you want to grow in your relationship with God? Do you want to grow closer to Jesus? Devour Ephesians. Squeeze every gospel truth out of it. And as you understand the breadth and width and height and depth, and as you know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, and respond to it, you will be filled up to all the fullness of God. Amen. I give you the book of Ephesians. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that we as a church would read Ephesians, but more importantly, that we would be filled up to all the fullness of God. In Jesus' name, amen.